must have felt as they sang Adeste Fidelis for the first time, as they heard the recently dedicated organ augment their voices, praising and thanking God the Father for loving us so much that he sent his own Son to become one of us, to share our life and redeem it, so that we might not perish but have eternal life. That Christmas joy has continued unabated every year since. And so we are elated today that we have the special privilege to celebrate the birth of Christ for the 100th time in this beautiful temple dedicated to God. This church was built to be a palpable reminder of the mystery of Christmas. In the famous vision of St. Anthony above the high altar, we see how in 1231, as St. Anthony was praying before a huge crucifix, the statue of Jesus on the cross came to life, took flesh, and at the same time transformed into a small baby so that Anthony could embrace him. This evokes how the Son of God, when he came into our world in Bethlehem, likewise didn't come as a man, he could have, but took flesh as a little baby so that we, like Anthony, could all embrace him in love. The 4,000 decorative lights in the church, an engineering and visual marvel when the church was built, and something that today, even the people today travel even hours to see, is meant to convey to us what the prophet Isaiah foretold in the first reading of the Midnight Mass of tonight, that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in a land of deep gloom, on them light has shone. That light is precisely the child born for us. This extraordinary manifestation of light is a powerful reflection of that child born, the light of the world, the one whom St. John will tell us in the Gospel for Mass tomorrow during the day is the true light who enlightens everyone who is coming into the world. But perhaps the most evocative reminder of all in this church is the depiction of the presence of so many angels. Over the course of the last 100 years, many kids in St. Anthony's School, scores of parishioners and others, have undertaken to number them. When I got here, people were telling me that there were 147 angels, including representations of all 9 choirs of angels mentioned in the Old Testament. 2 years ago, Father Nick counted them all and identified 197 of them. As I was recently double-checking his numbers for a photo book that's being done on our church for our centennial year, I think the number might actually be higher by 16 than what Father Nick came up with. 213 angels in this church. Regardless of what the number turns out to be, the overall impression of one coming into this church is to be surrounded everywhere by the presence of God's holy angels. And it's impossible for me, in beholding them, not to remember the important role God gave them at the birth of Christ. We heard in today's gospel how the angel appeared to Saint Joseph, telling him not to be afraid to receive Mary, his wife, into his home, that it was through the Holy Spirit that the child had been conceived in her, and that he was to name the child Jesus because he would save them from their sins. We know the angel Gabriel inaugurated this entire part of salvation history when he appeared to Mary at the Annunciation, asking her to become the mother of the Son born today. The angels appeared to the shepherds, keeping watch at night over their flocks, telling them likewise not to be afraid, and announcing to them good news of great joy for all the people. Then the angel got to the heart of the message, why there was such good news of great joy. For today, he said, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you who is Christ and Lord. The angel was then surrounded by a multitude of the heavenly host. The glory shone around him, glory so much greater than these 4,000 bulbs. And they were all praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Over the course of the centuries, The Christian people have justly focused much of our Christmas attention on the role of these angels. We've sung with gusto, as we will again this evening, "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King." We will ponder anew their message, "Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." They will help us to penetrate the mystery of the Incarnation. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. They will communicate the purpose of his presence. Mild, he lays his glory by. Born that we no more may die. Born to raise us from the earth. Born to give us second birth. And we will receive from them a mission. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. All of these truths that they announced 2,000 years ago, they continue to proclaim to us powerfully in this church every liturgical celebration of Christmas. But if all of these statues were able to come alive tonight and we could hear the message they'd want to tell us, it would be not focused merely and mainly on the unbelievable events that took place in the Middle East when Caesar Augustus was Roman emperor and Quirinius the governor of Syria. They would want us to concentrate on the just as incredible happening occurring right now. They would tell us to pay particular attention to the tense of the verbs that are being used in the readings throughout the Christmas masses, and not to miss the meaning of that tense. The angels would continue to proclaim, as they say in the gospel at midnight mass tonight, "Today a Savior is born for you, who is Christ the Lord." They would tell us to listen to Isaiah, who likewise continues to tell us, "For a child is, not was, born to us. A son is, not was, given to us." They would urge us to reflect on the significance of the refrain for the responsorial psalm of the midnight mass, which they will sing with us repeatedly tonight. "Today is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." They would point us to the second reading for the mass during the day tomorrow, when God the Father says to Jesus, "You are my Son, this day I have begotten you." And then God the Father turns to the angels and says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." The angels continue to follow that command, worshiping the Son who was born for us today. In chorus, they would beckon us to join them in adoration. This focus on Jesus Christ being born for us today, not just 2,000 years ago, was taken up very powerfully by the vicar of that Son born for us, Pope Benedict, just 3 days ago during his general audience with Catholics from around the world. His words help us not only to understand the meaning of Christmas, but the meaning of the Christmas Mass we're now celebrating. With the Christmas liturgy, Pope Benedict says, the Church introduces us to the great mystery of the Incarnation, God's becoming one of us, taking on our flesh. Christmas, in fact, is not a mere anniversary of Christ's birth. It is more. It's a celebration of a mystery that's marked and continues to mark mankind's history. God himself came to dwell among us. He made himself one of us. A mystery that we experience concretely in the liturgical celebrations, especially in Holy Mass. During the Mass on Christmas, we repeat as a refrain the responsorial psalm, "Today a Savior is born for us." The adverb of time, "today," which is used repeatedly throughout the Christmas celebration, refers to the event of Jesus' birth and to the salvation that the incarnation of the Son of God comes to bring. In indicating that Jesus is born today, the liturgy isn't using a meaningless phrase, but underscores that this birth affects and permeates not just the past, but all of history. Even today, It remains a reality to which we may attain precisely through the liturgy. For believers, the celebration of Christmas renews our certainty that God is really present with us, that God is still flesh and not only far away. Though he is with the Father, he is with us, close to us still. In that child born in Bethlehem, God drew near to man, and we can encounter him now in a today whose sun knows no setting. Pope Benedict went on to say, I need to stress this point because modern man finds it increasingly more difficult to open his horizons and enter this world of God. The redemption of mankind certainly took place at a precise and identifiable moment in history, in the event of Jesus of Nazareth. But Jesus is the Son of God. He's God himself who not only spoke to man, not only showed him wondrous signs and guided him through the history of salvation, but became man and remains man. The eternal entered into the limits of time and space in order to make possible an encounter with him today. When within liturgical celebrations we hear or proclaim that today a Savior is born for us, we're not employing an empty conventional expression. Rather, we mean that God offers us today, now, to me, to you, to each of us, the possibility of acknowledging and receiving him just like the shepherds in Bethlehem, so that he might be born in our lives now and renew them, illumine them, transform them by his grace and his presence. And he concludes, dear brothers and sisters, let us joyously live this feast of Christmas. Let us live this wondrous event that the Son of God is born today, that God is, not just was, truly close to us, and that he wants to meet us and bring us to himself. Let us live the Lord's birth by contemplating the path of God's immense love. Above all, let us contemplate and live this mystery in the celebration of the Eucharist, which is the heart of Christmas. There, Jesus makes himself really present as the true bread come down from heaven, as the true lamb sacrificed for our salvation. So the Pope tells us that the celebration of Christmas is not supposed to be merely a memory of the past event, but a mystery and a presence of Christ today. The incarnation of Jesus that began at the Annunciation and was announced to the world on Christmas didn't end at Jesus' ascension, but continues still as he keeps his valedictory promise, I will always be with you until the end of the world. God with us, Emmanuel, is still with us now. The light that began to shine in Bethlehem, of which all of these lights are meant to remind us, has never been snuffed out. It continues to shine around us tonight. It continues to reach those who walk in darkness, the shadow of sin and death, fear, depression, broken heart, fractured family, hunger, unemployment, and homelessness. That light continues to reach us because the same child who 2,000 years ago was adored by the shepherds in a cave in Bethlehem never stops visiting us in our daily life. He continues to be born for us today, and for that reason, fills each today of our life with light and hope. Jesus Christ is truly Emmanuel, God with us now, God with us today. And that's why we have nothing to fear. He has entered the world and never left it. And this is true most especially in the gift of his real abiding presence in the Eucharist. Every day at the altar, this same child is born for us. This same son is given for us. Every day here at Mass, God says, you are my son. This day I have begotten you. Every day, the word of God becomes flesh and dwells among us. There's a reason why Christmas has that name. Because the way we celebrate Christmas comes from that old medieval expression, Christ Mass. We adore the same Christ at Mass. And that's why we come together here. And so many of the early saints in the church, when looking at the reason why Christ was born of all places in Bethlehem, wasn't just to fulfill the prophecy of Micah, but it was to be a prophecy. Bethlehem in Hebrew means literally house of bread. And the early saints of the church said that it foretold that time where we would come together in this house and eat the living bread come down from heaven. That living bread was once placed in a manger, a trough from which animals ate, who would become in time, every today, our celestial food. That's why on this day, this Christ Mass, we greet the Lord with the words of the great hymn, Angels We Have Heard on High. As the angels tell us anew, pointing not so much backwards in time, not so much to a statue in a manger, however beautiful, but to a Christ represented by that statue who comes to life on the altar. Come, adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. That's why we exultantly proclaim in O Holy Night, come, adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ is born. After the shepherds heard the angels' words, they cried out to each other, let us go to Bethlehem. And they went in haste. They ran to adore the Lord in the middle of the night. Likewise, we have come here as darkness descends to adore the same Lord born for us. And after the shepherds had worshipped Christ in Bethlehem, they returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. They became, in effect, a new wave of angels, of heavenly messengers, proclaiming with the angelic hosts Christ's presence, raising sweet hymns of praise and grateful chorus, with all within them praising his holy name, and proclaiming forevermore his power and his glory. Tonight, for the 100th time, we're called, all 213 of us and more, to imitate their transformation and not keep our singing of the sweet hymn of joy and grateful chorus raising within these walls, but helped by these celestial messengers and intercessors to go to everyone we meet and to announce that same good news of great joy that is just as actual for us in 2011 in New Bedford as it was 2011 years ago in Bethlehem. Let us, with the shepherds, with the angels, with the Catholics of these past 100 years, and with Christians throughout the world today, burst forth together. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Christ the Lord is born for us today. Gloria in excelsis. Come, let us adore him today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen.